You would please open up your Bibles to the book of James. And that's where we're going to be at this morning. That's cool right there. James is a very practical book of the Bible. I appreciate it. I like it. Every time I open up to it, it's like, man, the Lord always continues to speak to me in His Word. You know, so especially in chapter number 3, talks to us about our tongue and how we speak and the things that we say and those types of things. But really has a lot to do with just our practical day-to-day life as Christians. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray right now for this. Father, we ask that You would minister to our hearts right now. Lord, we pray that You would open up Your Word in a very special way. We pray, Lord, that every single one of us, Lord, as men, would be able to walk out of these doors this morning, Father, with an exhortation from You in our hearts. Lord, to live closer to You, to faithfully, Lord, seek You, and to demonstrate, Lord, in our day-to-day life, the work that You are doing in our hearts and in our lives. And so, Father, we ask that You would do these things. Be glorified. We love You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. So, James, he's the half-brother of Jesus, and he's writing this here to the church. He's writing this to believers, this whole epistle, this letter. Okay, and James, for the most part, is like the leader of the early church at that point, at that moment. He's like the guy in charge, if you will, and he's taking this responsibility. And again, he's the half-brother of Jesus. Now, just imagine that. You know, here's James growing up as a child and getting to see his oldest brother, Jesus, live a perfect life. And so this is who James is. And I'm going to start off right here just kind of by reading a few of the verses here in chapter number 1. James, notice he starts off saying this. He says, James, a bondservant of God. He doesn't say, James, the half-brother of Jesus. Now what? You know, he doesn't go there. He doesn't say this about himself. He calls himself a bondservant or a slave. A slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. He goes on to say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so, again, just want to paint this picture for you. Now, the church is scattered. The church is being persecuted at this point. And James is the leader of the church. He's the guy, you know, that you want to hear from, you know, as you're being persecuted, you know. So kind of just put your mind, or put yourself, if we can, like in that place where, you know, we're in persecution. We're part of the church, and you know, people that we know are being persecuted and imprisoned and jailed and all these other things, and even to the point of death. You know, they're being persecuted in this way, and so the church, you know, they're all scattered, and there's a group of people that are like, you know, kind of like in a hiding place or in a safe refuge place, and they get word that James has been writing letters to the church, and finally they get this letter from James. Again, remember, he's like the leader, and so as they get this letter, he gets to the point, or, you know, they open it and they read it. Like, they're excited. Man, we got a letter from James. You know, this guy who's in charge right now, you know, and we're being persecuted. We need some good encouragement. We need some good vision of what we need to do. Maybe he's got some tactic for us that, you know, that's going to help us, get out of this situation of persecution and all these other things. You know, this might be their mindset. And as they get it, they read it, and you know, they all right, you know, like as they get down to verse number 2, and they read this part, and you know, the person reading it might just acknowledge and say, man, James is calling us brothers, man, my brethren. And they look up, they're all excited, you know, and this is really James speaking to us. It's a letter from him. He's got some good vision for us. He's got some good ideas for us. And then he goes on to say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now imagine, just reading this and you are being persecuted. You're being sought out to be put into prison and to maybe even to the point of death. And here they're reading this and they're like, count it all joy when you fall into trials. You know, someone there in the crowd may have said, man, make sure that's James. You know, are you sure? And just to be honest, it's like, hey, when we, you and I, when we find ourselves in trials, in difficult times, how many of us truly, really just are able to face that most difficult thing that we're going through and just turn around and say, and have a big old cheeseburger smile, like, man, I'm counting this joy. Thank you, Lord, man. I'm just going through trouble. I just lost my job and this is going on and this is going on. I just got information, man, I might be sick, you know, with some kind of cancer. Thank you, Lord. I got all joy. None of us really do that, you know? We don't like bad news. We don't like trials. We really don't. We don't. I know I don't. I don't. Maybe you're different. I don't know. We don't like to go through trials. And here, as James is exhorting and encouraging the body of believers, saying, hey, listen, count this all joy because there's a purpose behind it. You see, and that's one of the things that I think we have to remember is that there is a purpose behind the trials that the Lord allows us to go through. There is a purpose behind it. God is going to use those things, those circumstances, those challenges. There's nothing in our lives that God does not use to sharpen us, to grow us, to mature us. God will use it, and God does use it. And it's amazing because I know some of us, I know I can even speak for myself, we go through devastating times. You know, family members just being murdered, not just accidentally killed or anything like that, murdered. Can God use that? You know, Paul in Romans, he tells us to count it all, or he says, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. To be honest with you, there are circumstances and seasons of my life that I go through where I'm just honest with the Lord. God, I do not understand how all things work together for good. I don't understand how this can possibly turn anything good out of it. At the moment, no. But I will tell you, years have gone by since I've been through those types of devastating things in my life, in my family's life. And I will tell you today that there's more people in my family today that are saved, that are going to go to heaven, than when that tragedy hit my family. There's more people today. You know, and so now I look back and it's like, wow, Lord, You did have a plan because God used that tragic situation in the life of my family to bring many people to salvation. You see, there's not one thing that we go through in life that God does not use. God does use it. And here, I think James is exhorting and encouraging here the body of believers to say, hey, listen, I know you're going through some difficult times. We are aware of it. We know what's going on. Listen, count it all joy, knowing, he says, knowing that the testing of your faith, you see, it's the testing of our faith. Our faith gets tested. It goes through that fire. Is it real? Is it genuine? Hey, it's really easy, you know, just to be a person of faith when things are just falling into place, I feel. You know, it is for me. Praise the Lord, man. Things are falling into place. But what happens when they don't fall into place? Where is our faith at that point? Are we truly trusting the Lord in everything and with every fiber of our being in the same way that when things are going good? You see, this is a testing of our faith, and this is producing patience. But let this patience have its perfect work. So basically talking about submission and surrendering over to the Lord and surrendering to what God wants to do in your life. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect, okay, or mature and complete, lacking nothing. You see, God uses these things in our lives and brings maturity, brings strength, it brings understanding. And then when we go through those times, we then are seeking the Lord, and it's at that point that we're receiving from the Lord His comfort. And with that same comfort that we've been comforted with, you and I then are able to go and comfort others. That is what the Bible tells us. You see, so God uses our experiences, our trials, our circumstances as we go through situations, as we go through seasons of hardship. And then we get into verse number 5. Verses 5 through 8, where I really want to take a focus at, where I really want all of us here as men to meditate on these passages here this morning. If any of you lacks wisdom, James writes in verse number 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You know, we see on those billboards, you know, for a few years now at least, it says, got milk? Well, hey, listen, got faith? Got faith? Here, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. This whole thing with wisdom and how we receive wisdom, how we receive understanding of the will of God. We need to go to God. We need to approach the Lord. But we need to approach Him completely in faith. It is in faith. And a time that we seem to lack wisdom, a time that you and I seem to lack wisdom, is during a time of trial. And just being honest, it's during a time of circumstance, of challenges and all these things. It's because during trials, we need wisdom more than knowledge. Because we might know what to do, but sometimes it's the application of that knowledge, which is wisdom, is what we lack at those times. You see, knowing or knowledge and wisdom, they are two different things. We might have the knowledge of what God might say and all these other things, but they're two different things. Listen to what someone had said. I read this, and someone says this: knowledge is the ability to take something apart. Wisdom is the ability to put it back together. Now, I don't know about you, but I've taken things apart sometimes. Back in the day, I've taken many phones and many radios apart, you know, thinking that there's some kind of secret microphone in there. I don't know, maybe you've done that too. Did anybody do that here? Okay, alright. You're just telling on yourself right now, huh? He's like, yeah, that was me. I know why you took it apart, because you had nothing else to do. He's like, what's in there? You know, put it back together. I don't know how to do that. So now you got this whole garage full of just parts, you know what I mean? And you become this part collector or whatever. Anyways, I pray those days are over. You know, one time I had to disassemble a barbecue. You know, it was a big giant barbecue and everything. I had to disassemble it because we had to put stuff into storage, and I knew if I disassembled it and put it in a little box and shrink wrapped it, I could have more room in this storage unit. And so that's what I did. I kind of just took everything all apart, and then, you know, we got our place and everything. And so my wife said, hey, get that barbecue and put it back together because I want a barbecue. It's summertime. I said, all right. You know, and so I took everything out, and I'm like, oh, man. You know, it was like, it was hard. Honestly, it took me like 2 days. And I had stuff left over. You know what I mean? You had extra parts. I was like, man, I knew this screw came out of somewhere, but I can't find it. You see, here's the deal is that, you know, hey, it's really easy to tear things apart, but it's that wisdom to put things back together. You see? That's wisdom in application. Or knowledge, I like how Pastor Chuck said it one time. Pastor Chuck Smith said, you know, knowledge will tell you that this animal that looks like a cat and is all black and it's got this white stripe on its back, knowledge will tell you it's a skunk. Wisdom will tell you, run. You know, wisdom will tell you, stay far away from it. See, it's very practical, very easy. And you see, wisdom is the application of the knowledge that we have. And it's during the trials, the situations and the circumstances and the stuff that we go through, that's where it becomes difficult, friends, guys, for us to apply that wisdom or to have that wisdom. You see, applying God's wisdom, it's hard to do. Why? because it seems to go against our human nature. It seems to go against our the nature, the, just the man, the person, the flesh of who we are on the inside. You see? The Bible tells us in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it is the way of death. You know, it seems right. Well, this makes sense, we might say. Well, this is, you know, well, it's obvious. This is a no-brainer. I should do this. You know, this is, it's just right there, right in front of us. You see, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. You see, that's our human nature. That's just us in our flesh thinking and assuming that, you know what, this is how I need to do things because it just makes sense. You know, sometimes God does things in our life and we cannot make sense of it on this side of heaven. We cannot make sense of it this side of heaven. That is when we just completely just say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I am surrendering my life over to You. And Father, would You give me the wisdom to walk in that? Would You give me the understanding of Your will, not mine, Your will in my life so that I might walk in the path that You have set before me? You see, we receive this wisdom. It says, if you lack wisdom. I don't know if you lack wisdom. I know I lack. I'm a lacking man. You know, and I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I am a lacker. He said, he's a lacker. I am a lacker. And I lack wisdom. And constantly, I'm always praying, Lord, give me wisdom. People come up to me quite often. And I really appreciate it because, you know, there is a... Tommy, you're always praying for us. You're always praying for us. Well, how can we pray for you? And the very first words are always, please pray for wisdom. I need wisdom because I don't know what I'm doing. I need the wisdom of God in my life. If you lack that wisdom, and if you identify that lacking of wisdom in your life, friends, here, James is saying, hey, simply ask. Ask. Ask of God who gives liberally. He gives freely. He gives without reproach. God is a giver. He is a giver. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. So that we might have salvation. So that we don't have to do anything. We just surrender. We just acknowledge the sacrifice that His Son made for us. So that we might have the promise of heaven. See, He did all that work. God gives. You see, we receive by asking of God. Why? Because He is a giver. And how does He give? He gives without reproach. He gives without reproach. Meaning, we can't go to God too many times. Meaning that you can't say to yourself, or we ought not to say to ourselves, like, you know, well, I already asked God yesterday. I asked God yesterday for like a lot of things, man, and I keep on asking Him for wisdom. You cannot out-ask God. He wants us to approach Him. Okay, so He gives wisdom without reproach. He doesn't say to us, man, dude, you were here yesterday. That's it, man. You're done. Wait 30 days at least. Get in the back of the line, you know. God doesn't do that. That's not His nature. That's not His love. That's not His heart for us. He wants us to continually ask Him. Be there at His feet. Asking genuinely. Asking with sincerity in our hearts. We cannot out-ask God. We cannot go to Him too many times. He wants us to go to Him. And this, you know, this is the reason I believe why God allows us at times to go through trials, to go through circumstances, and to go through challenges. Guys, some of you might be going through some stuff right now. Some of you might just be, you know, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance you're dealing with today, you're just going through it. Hey, listen, think about it in these terms. God is allowing you to go through it because He wants you to go to Him. He wants you to cry out to Him every moment of the day. He's like, Lord, help me right now, God. Help me. Give me wisdom, Lord. We cannot go to Him too many times. And I truly believe that this is the reason, one of the reasons why God allows us to go through trials. He wants us to simply go to Him and to ask Him for wisdom, ask Him for strength, ask Him for knowledge, ask Him for understanding, ask Him for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, ask Him for more love. Why? Because He just wants to give it to us. And He gives it to us. Remember, God gives. He is a giver. He gives it to us liberally. He gives it to us freely. That's how God wants us to receive here. And then in verse number 6, check it out. He says, but let him, let that man, let us, let him ask what? In faith. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We need to ask in faith. What is faith? The writer of Hebrews gives us faith. Chapter 11, it says, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's just faith. It's just, I know it's going to happen. It's not like, oh, well, I kind of, you know, God has given to us this hope with substance, faith with substance, and it's here. It's not like, oh, well, you know, well, I don't know, it may happen, it may not happen. No, faith is like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God's going to do it. By faith, I believe in the rapture of the church. Amen?
Amen.
It's not like, well, yeah, it sounds good, but I don't know, you know, come on, we've kind of been here for a long time, you know. No, it's going to happen. How do you know, Tommy? Well, dude, the Bible says it. The Bible tells us. And the Bible, there's nothing wrong in the Bible. There's nothing incorrect. Everything is correct. Everything is on point. It's going to happen just the way that God said it's going to happen. And it's going to happen when God wants it to happen. And I have faith in that. And I stand on that. You see, it's not wavering. We ask in faith. Turn with me real quick to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. It's in the Old Testament. First Kings chapter number 3. Right here, starting, and I'm going to start at verse number 4. It says this: now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high. For that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked. And God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy on your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. Notice his humility. Notice his acknowledgement of who he is in and of himself. He said, but I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said, verse 11, then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, verse 12, God tells him, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Wow, God just completely blessed them. And oh, imagine, guys, what if God were to come to us? All right, Tommy, check this out. Whatever you want, it's yours. I'm God. Whatever you want, it's yours. Or he says, hey, all right, Jesse, whatever you want, it's yours. Or whatever you want, Anthony, it's yours. Here I am. I'm God. I can give you anything. You know, and it's like, man, it's like, okay, God, I have a list of things. You know what I mean? It's like, and here's Solomon saying, I just want this under. I want wisdom. because I need to govern your people. You see, his concern wasn't for himself. It wasn't about him. It was about God and his people. Lord, you have put me and me in this place, and Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I need wisdom, and I need it to come from you. These are your people, you see. And he asked for this wisdom, and God graciously, God just lovingly, not only did he pour out the wisdom, but he poured out many other things upon Solomon's life. You see? And how did he ask? What was it? Was just in faith. It was in faith. Simple faith, guys. It's not complicated. It is very simple. It's just believing as it was so. Because God said it. It's going to happen. I believe it. I believe it. It's going to happen. And so here, back in James, James writes here and he says, hey, ask in faith. You see, do we got faith? Do you got faith when you ask of God for help in your life? Do you got faith? Faith demonstrates the kind of heart we need in seeking God's wisdom. It's a heart that believes God's word and believes it speaks to us today. You see? Let me listen again. Faith demonstrates the kind of heart we need in seeking God's wisdom. It's a heart that believes God's word and believes it speaks to us today. Just because we read it here in the scriptures and we by faith can believe, wow, man, what a great passage there. Then you know, Solomon just by faith asking of God. Or man, what great faith that Daniel had as he was there in the lion's den. You know, in the mouth of the lions, they were shut. And man, what great faith. And oh yeah, man, that definitely did happen. I believe it happened in the Bible. Okay, well, can God shut the mouth of the lion today? Can God provide that same kind of wisdom that He had given to Solomon for you today? You see, and some of us like, well, I believe it happened in the Bible, but I don't know, for me, I don't think so, you know. And I really feel that I find myself in that place at times. It's like, Lord, you use Peter, you use Paul, you use, man, these mighty men of God in so many awesome ways, man. Healings were done and miracles were done. What a great thing. And it's like, oh, wow. Is, you know, do I believe? Do you believe? Do we believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is He still able to accomplish these same kind of miraculous things in our individual life? Not just in the life of the church, but in our own individual life. Is He able to do those things? Yes. Come on! Hallelujah! Yes! Man, this is when we can get Pentecostal. It's all good. Oh yeah! In the name of Jesus, He can. Oh yeah, in the name of Jesus, He can if He chooses today. And the thing is, where I feel that why we don't receive these things or why we don't see these things as often, maybe as we read them in the scriptures, is because, well, man, there's a lack of faith. There's a lack of being like, oh yeah, but you know, I don't think, you know, man, the whole thing of church and state, you know, we can't go into the schools and do that. You know, I don't think the schools will let you do that. You know, it's by faith, we're in 17 schools in the Santa Ana School District, a public school, and we're preaching the gospel. You know, and every single time I say that, people are like, you can do that? I go, well, yeah. God's doing it. We're just walking in obedience. God's opening up those doors. It ain't me. It has nothing to do with me. Trust me, I ain't got no education. You know, it's like, man, I'm an ex-con, and they let me on the campus. It's like crazy. You know what I mean? People, it's like, man, you have a record too, and they let you back in there. I say, I know, trip out, huh? See, hey, listen, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's not me. It's God doing these things. And I believe that if God wants to do it, He's going to do it in our life. If God wants to do it in my life, He's going to do it in my life. And I'm telling you guys, I lack faith. It's not as great as I would like it to be. It really, I'm just being honest. I can be honest with you guys, right? Yes. Hey, listen, I lack faith. And there are times I feel like I cut myself short. And that's why I love the scriptures. And I love getting up in the morning or in the evening or whenever it is. And I crack open God's word. And it's like God reminding me. It's like, hey, come on, knucklehead. This is the real deal here. This is the real deal. I believe in me. Believe God. I want to do miracles through your life. And I'm like, yeah, Lord, I know. All right, all right. You know, but I don't know why you want to use me, but whatever. You know, it's all what God wants to do. You see, this faith, it demonstrates the kind of heart we need in seeking God's wisdom, just simply believing. It's a heart that believes God's Word. Yes, I believe God's Word. It's a heart that believes God's Word and believes that it speaks to us today too. That it just doesn't speak to us of ancient things, of things that took place thousands of years ago. Wow, really cool. Man, really awesome. Yes, I believe it. And yes, I believe what the Bible says to me. But do we believe it for today? Do you believe it for today? That God is able to accomplish these things in your life today, 2013, February 16th? Do you? I pray that you do. I pray that you do. And I pray that, you know, that all the doubting and all that, well, I don't know, you know. Man, get rid of all that stuff. I have to. I have to. Because if I don't, I'm not going to see God move in the way that I want Him to move in my life. If you want to, if you want to see God move in your life like the way that you desire, man, get rid of that doubting. And get rid of the wavering. Get rid of all the different questions. Yeah, but you know, Tommy, you don't know my situation. Hey, I don't need to know. God knows. Right? God knows. He knows your situation. The heart that doubts is the heart or the life that has no foundation. It has no foundation here. James even tells us that it's unstable. It's unstable. You know, it's, you ever walk on something that's unstable? And it's like, man, you know, I don't know what kind of exercise it is, but I've seen my sister do this. She's got like this, like a little ball, right? And then she puts like this little plank thing on this ball, and she's got to stable herself, you know, and all this. It's like an exercise thing, you know. So, oh, yeah, Tommy, it works out your core and everything. Like, whatever, you know what I mean? But she's always falling down, you know, and she's trying to hold this little weight in front of, you know, and try to balance herself. And she's just, it's unstable. And she's, you know, the kids try it, you know, and I tried it and I fell, you know, and all these things. It is unstable. It is unstable, you see. And the heart that doubts is the heart or the life that is unstable. Now imagine your life. Your life as an individual, as a man, can be stable, can have foundation, can be solid. And I don't know about you, but I want my life as a man to be stable. I want it to be on a foundation. I want it to be strong. I just want it to be solid. And it's not going to be solid in my own ways and my own intellect and what I think is right or what I think the world thinks is right that I should implement in my life and all these other things. It's like if I was going to try to live my life on that little ball, trying to balance myself, you know, with that plank on that little ball. You see, and I know, man. I live in 2013 too. This season of life. There's so many things that we have to juggle, from work to family, you know, and all these things and situations and bills and all this stuff, you know what I mean? And it's like we got to balance. And how can we balance our life with all these things if we are unstable? If we are men that have no foundation? How can you? You're not. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to mess up. And when you fall, everything else, boom, it's going to fall. It's going to just crash. It's going to crumble right before you. You see, the heart that doubts is that heart or that life that is unstable, has no foundation. But God is our foundation. He wants us to have foundation. If you doubt in life, especially if you're doubting and you're there, you're like, man, I want to believe God and I want God and the promises of God in my life. But if there's an ounce of doubt in your heart or in your life, don't ever think that you'll receive anything from the Lord. Please, just don't think that you'll receive it from the Lord. If there's a little bit of doubt in your life, you're not. You're not going to receive it. But let him ask in faith. Look at verse 6. With no doubting. Watch this. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Man, if you're asking God and you have this little thing of doubt. Okay, God, well, I really want you to do this, but you know, I really don't think you're going to do it either. I don't know. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not going to do it. Maybe you're not going to do this. Hey, listen, guess what? You're not going to get anything from the Lord. You're not going to receive anything from the Lord. And that's not me saying, oh, because your faith and oh, you're not going to get anything from God. I'm not trying to be up here all weird on you or nothing like that. I'm trying to tell you exactly. I'm just reading what the Bible tells us right here. This is for you and for me. Not just for you. This is for me too. This is, you know, this is God putting me a check right now too. Don't suppose, that man should not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You see, so if you doubt, if we doubt, if I doubt, we cannot think that we will ever receive anything from the Lord. And you know, God, He's a deliverer. Amen? That's all He wants to do, is He wants to deliver. He wants to deliver us out of hardships. He wants to deliver blessings into our lives. You know, He wants to just bring things into our lives, and He wants to give us the promises of His Word that we can stand on Him, that we might see God work in miraculous ways and just be excited and passionate for Him and have our lives just like, man, flipped, you know, upside down for Him. It's like, man, what happened to you? Dude, I love Jesus. That's what happened to me. You know, I went back over to Cork when we did this prison outreach one time, and I see this guy that I you know, I knew out in the streets, and then you know, then we also did time together, you know, and I paroled from Corcoran, so I figured I might see him, and sure enough, I saw him, there he was, and he was just like, looked at me from head to toe, like, what happened to you, Holmes? What's up? And, you know, and there I am with a big old cheeseburger smile, like, Jesus, bro, it's just God, man. He's like, that's cool, like, I want that. That's what he said, I want that, I want what you got. You know, I could have said, hey, well, go get me some soups and we'll talk about it. I had to throw it out there. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say soups, huh? Now, hey, listen, I didn't say that. I was like, hey, you can have what I had, what I got, bro, because it comes from God. It's all the Lord. And God wants to freely give. All we get to do is just surrender our life and just give it all to Him. And by faith, just believe that God loves us and believe that we have the promise of heaven because of Jesus, His Son, dying on the cross for us. And he couldn't get that through his skull. He's like, but how? I said, I just told you, man. We don't got to do anything. It's by faith. He's okay, I get it. But how do I do that? But how do I do this? How do we? It was like, he's like, he wants to see something. He wants to know that there's something that he's got to do. And listen, guys, we don't got to do anything. We just simply go to him and ask. Ask in what? In faith. We ask in faith without doubting, and we will receive. By the grace of God, this man, he's been writing me, and we've been corresponding now for about 8 months back and forth, you know, and God's doing a work in his life. God just put, you know, there's someone else that I know that, you know, he found himself in some trouble. Now he's in Corcoran, and but God is using this man that's in Corcoran now to disciple my friend that I know from for a long time, and he's growing and he's seeking the Lord and all these things. You see, it's really good. We have to ask, and it's in faith. It's in faith. In Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 9, there's a man there, and he goes to Jesus, and he tells Jesus about his son. His son who's been, you know, just out of it, man, just crazy. And Jesus comes to him. He's, okay, well, how long has this been going on with your son? Jesus is asking some questions, you know, and he says, man, this is what is, you know, since his youth and all these things are going on. Lord Jesus, can you help him? And then Jesus, yeah, sure, okay, I will. And then he turns to the dad. He turns to the dad. And he says, do you believe? And the dad said, yes, but help my unbelief. It wasn't that he was doubting. You see, now I want to make sure that we get this clear. It wasn't that he was doubting. You see, it was just the lack of faith, the size of faith. It was, you know, it was like small. It was that he knew his faith was weak. That's what I wanted to say. His faith was weak. It wasn't that he was, you know, doubting. He knew his faith was weak. And so he tells Jesus, or he asks Jesus, help my unbelief. My faith is weak. And we find ourselves at times, guys, especially during a time of trial, especially during a time of hardship and heartache, and this is a horrible season of our life, that our faith seems to be weak. Maybe your faith is weak. Maybe you're kind of acknowledging that, you know, my faith, I wish it was the size of a Volkswagen bus, but it's the size of a mustard seed right now. You know? And you're identifying that, and you know that, hey, if you ask God to help you with your unbelief, if you ask God to strengthen your faith, guess what He will do? Amen.
He will do it.
He will do it. He will strengthen your faith. But how do we ask God to strengthen our faith? In
faith.
In faith. Hallelujah. We ask in faith, Lord, I'm believing that You can do it right now and You will increase my faith. And check this out. Oftentimes when we ask of God, God, would You increase my faith? God will say, yes, I'm going to put You in a place where you have to have nothing but faith. And then we're like, oh, but wait a minute, God, I kind of mean like this, you know. Give me faith to move the mountain, you know. He's okay, I'm going to put the mountain there. I'm going to put the trial there. I'm going to put that mountain in front of your life. So that you can, by faith, believe that my word is true. And not only for ancient times, but that you can believe that my word is true for you here today in 2013, February 16th, and so on.
Amen.
You see, God wants us to have faith. Do you got faith? I pray that you do. And I pray that with that faith that you do have, whether it's weak or strong, if you identify your faith as being weak, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would ask Him to increase your faith, to strengthen your faith. And I pray that with that measure of faith that God has given to us, to you as a man, that with that measure of faith that you will go to God and that you will ask Him, God, give me wisdom, give me understanding of how to be a man of God, the man of God that You want me to be, not the man of God that I think I should be, but the man of God that You want me to be. You see, that's what it's all about. It's all by faith. And it's living by faith. And asking God, Lord, would You do these things? And in verse number 8, He goes on to say about this man who's wavering and the man who doubts, that he should, not only should he not just expect anything from God, but check this out. Here's another what he says about the man who wavers in his faith. He says that he is a double-minded man. He's unstable in all of his ways. Listen, guys, don't be double-minded. Don't be on the fence. Don't be one foot in, one foot out like the hokey pokey. You know what I'm saying? Hey, be all in for Jesus. All in for Jesus. Okay? Don't be double-minded and don't be unstable in your ways, because if you are, if you do have that, you know, if you are playing the hokey-pokey, one foot in, one foot out, hey, trust me, you're unstable. Things are crashing down around you all the time and you're like this, that, you know, things are just tipping out of your hands and crashing. And you're probably identifying that right now. Like, yeah, you know what? There's sometimes things good, and then there's sometimes things go bad. And man, the bad really hurts and all these things. You know, I'll tell you why. It's because you are unstable. Not that, hey, when you are stable and you're walking faithfully with the Lord, that things are just always going to be 100% all right. Nah. Hey, things happen. We do go through our trials. We do go through our situations. We do go through our seasons of life. But it's for one purpose. It's so that our faith might grow. And it's so that we also might see the Lord work in and through our lives. He wants to be in charge of our lives. Because He loves us. Because He loves us. And it's all by faith. We live this life all by faith. We ask in faith. It's about faith. Our being a Christian man is by faith. It is by faith. It's not about intellect. It's not about strength. It's not about our experiences or any of that. It's all about faith. Do we believe it? Do you believe it? And I pray that you do. Let me pray. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that You would strengthen our faith. Lord, that we would be men and a woman of faith. That, Lord, that when we do come to You and we have challenges and we got circumstances and we got just things going on in our life, that we would ask You in faith for help. That we would ask You, Lord, in faith for deliverance. That we would ask You, Lord, in faith for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, that we might live according to Your will. Lord, help us to understand and truly believe that, yes, You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That, Lord, that You have not changed. That, Lord, that You want to show Yourself strong in the life of that person whose heart is loyal to You. whose heart is surrendered to You, whose heart is sold out after You. And I pray right now that if you identify yourself as being double-minded, if you identify yourself as being unstable, with humility, I pray that if you identify yourself right now that you have one foot in and one foot out, I pray that with all humility that you would just say, you know what, that's me. That's me. You know, no one's perfect here, guys, and maybe you are struggling. And if you are, I just want to pray. I want to pray for you. So just please, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and say, yes, that's me, and I want to, amen. Hallelujah. Father, God, in the name of Jesus, you see the men who rose their hands here today, this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would increase their faith. Lord, that they, and I pray that their the attitude of their heart would be as that man who with his son and went to you and said, Lord Jesus, help my unbelief. Lord, would you help their unbelief? Would you help their faith, Lord? Would you help them not to be double-minded? Would you help them not to have one foot in and one foot out, but to have both feet all in for you, Lord? And would you begin to demonstrate your grace, your mercy, and your love in their life, Lord? That their faith will be cultivated in you and strengthened. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power of your Spirit, Lord, at work, moving amongst us right now. And I pray, Lord, that we would all just be exhorted to live a life that would exalt you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys.
All right.
I gotta run, bro.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
See you, Pastor.
Okay.
Thanks, bro.
God bless you guys.